So if you're managing property, listing rentals, or maybe trying to sell a smaller home, you know the photo is everything. It's the first showing.
It is, it's the gatekeeper. And let's be real, for smaller listings or rental units, hiring a pro photographer every single time, well, it's often just not in the budget.
Exactly. So you're left with, the tool that's already in your pocket, your iPhone.
And that's totally fine. I mean, modern phones are incredible, but they're really designed for taking pictures of people or like big landscape shots, not architectural interiors.
Right.
So knowing how to use that camera to capture a physical space correctly is what separates a listing that gets clicks from one that just sits there.
Absolutely. So we've taken all these industry best practices from the pros, the ones who make an $800,000 house look like an $8 million house, and we've basically distilled it down into a practical, quick cheat sheet. Our mission today is really just to give you that complete, non-technical pre-shoot checklist you can actually listen to on the drive over to the property.
And we're going to skip all the complicated phone settings, the jargon, editing workflows, none of that. We are focusing only on what you can do on site, the composition, the technique, the things you can control with your hands and your eyes before you even hit the shutter.
Okay, let's unpack this. We're going to start with the single most important non-negotiable step. And it happens before the phone even comes out of your pocket. The pre-game staging.
This is the golden rule. Honestly, it's the most important thing. If it's not permanent furniture or, general decoration, it has to be out of sight.
Why is that so critical? More than bad lighting, even.
Oh, way more. It's purely psychological. When a potential renter or buyer looks at a photo, they are trying to imagine their own life in that space.
Okay.
Clutter creates like a visual friction. They stop thinking, "Oh, where would my couch go?" And they start thinking, "Wow, this person has a lot of stuff." Your personal things, photos, mail, toys, they anchor the space to you, not them.
That makes perfect sense. And you can't just edit that feeling out later. So let's get specific. What needs to disappear? You have to be ruthless.
Ruthless is the word. Start with personal items. That means all family photos, anything religious, the magnets on the fridge, and, way too many toiletries.
So, like, you have a soap dispenser and a toothbrush holder.
Hide the toothbrush holder. Hide the sponge by the sink. If it's not essential for the shot, it's a distraction. Get rid of it.
And the kitchen and bathroom, I imagine, need even more attention.
Oh, for sure. You have to clear all the dishes from the sink and the drainer. And trash cans, they have to go. Just move them into the garage or the laundry room. Hide the utensils. Make sure the countertops are just spotless.
Bedrooms seem simpler. Just make the beds right.
Make the beds perfectly. Straighten the comforter. Fluff the pillows so they look crisp. And get every single piece of clothing or shoes off the floor.
And what's that one thing in the bathroom that always gives it away?
Ugh, the hallmark of an amateur shot. The toilet seat must always be closed. It just removes this weird, unattractive hole from the middle of your picture. It's a simple fix that makes a huge difference.
Okay, so once the space is clean, we move on to light.
Yes, and this is another non-negotiable. For maximum brightness, don't be shy. You need to turn on all the interior lights.
All of them. Ceiling fixtures, lamps.
Everything, especially the under cabinet lights in the kitchen. Even if you're a fan of natural light, real estate photos need consistency. Turning on all the lights warms up the space, it fills in the shadows, and it just gives the room a polished look that agents really prefer.
And on the flip side of that, ceiling fans, turn them off.
Yes, people forget this all the time. If they're moving, even just a little, you're going to get motion blur in your photos, and you
Oh.
won't even notice until you get home and look at the pictures on a bigger screen.
So frustrating. What about the windows?
Open them all the
Yeah.
blinds, all the curtains, get them wide open to maximize that natural light.
Is there ever a time you wouldn't do that?
The only exception is if the view outside is genuinely terrible, like you're looking directly at a dumpster or a brick wall. In that case, maybe keep some sheer curtains closed, but you still need those interior lights on to compensate.
Got it. And a quick check on the outside before we dive into the phone itself.
Yeah, good call. Before you even go inside, move any cars from the driveway or from the front of the house, pick up any yard clutter, take the covers off the grill, make the outside look as pristine as the inside.
Okay, property is staged. Let's talk about the iPhone. Professionals have all this heavy gear, but for the rest of us.
For you, the iPhone user, the one essential accessory is a tripod with a phone mount. And it doesn't have to be expensive. Even a cheap one works.
And why is that so important?
Two reasons. First, you get a uniform height across all your photos, which creates consistency. And second, it gives you rock-solid stability. It eliminates all those tiny hand jitters that make a photo look soft.
And how you hold the phone or mount it, that matters too. Orientation is key.
It's critical. Real estate photos must always be taken in landscape. Horizontal.
Not portrait.
Never portrait. It just fails to capture the width and the feel of the room. You lose the essence of the space.
Okay, so modern iPhones have that ultra-wide lens, the 0.5A setting. We should be using that, right?
Yes. Use it liberally. It's fantastic for capturing an entire room, especially in tight spaces like a small bathroom or a closet. The wide angle just instantly makes a room feel bigger and more open.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting, because there's a catch with that ultra-wide lens, isn't there?
There is. When you use that 0.5A, especially if you're close to a wall, you can get something called barrel distortion. The straight lines at the edge of the photo start to curve outwards.
Right, the fisheye look.
Exactly. So the way pros deal with this without fancy software is simple. Just take a step back, move away from the wall until that distortion feels a little more minimized. It's all about finding that sweet spot where you get the width without making it look unnatural.
So since we're avoiding all the technical stuff, what about the tools already built into the iPhone? How do we make sure our shots are straight?
You absolutely need to use the phone's native grid lines and its built-in leveler. You can usually turn these on in your phone's camera settings.
And that just pops up on the screen.
Yeah, it'll show up as a little crosshair or a line that turns yellow or green when your phone is perfectly level. It uses the phone's gyroscope, and it is critical for getting a professional-looking shot.
If you skip that, it's immediately obvious. Which brings us right to composition, and specifically, the rule of height. I've seen so many listings where half the picture is just the ceiling.
Ugh, yes. The height rule is all about visual balance. You should be shooting from about waist height or light switch level, so roughly 4 feet high.
4 feet, okay.
The goal is to get an equal amount of ceiling and floor in the picture. If you shoot from your own eye level, you get way too much ceiling and not enough of the floor, which is what buyers are actually looking at, to imagine their furniture.
So you're setting the tripod to 4 feet and leaving it there for most of the interior. And that's why the level is so important, to fight that distortion.
That's it. You have to keep the phone perfectly straight and level. No tilting up or down.
What happens if you tilt it?
If you tilt the camera even a little bit, all those important vertical lines, the door frames, the corners of the walls, they'll start to skew. They'll look like they're falling in or leaning out. And the human eye finds that really unsettling, even if you don't consciously know why.
So we know the height. How do we actually frame the shot to capture the whole room? Let's talk about this 2 or 3 wall rule.
To really show the dimension of a room, you have to shoot from the corners. This creates what's called a two-point perspective.
So you're showing two main walls.
Exactly. And ideally, if you can just peek around to show a little slice of the third wall, you instantly add a ton of depth. A flat, straight-on shot of just one wall makes a room look small and, well, flat.
So for the listener, the practical application is, in big rooms, like a living room, you want to shoot from opposite corners, kitty corner, to make sure you get full coverage.
Yep. You might have to literally cram yourself into a corner to get the best possible view, but it's worth it.
Okay, let's talk about workflow. What's the best way to move through the house?
I always recommend starting inside first, then do the exterior shots later. You don't want to track dirt or water into a space you just spent 20 minutes staging.
Good point.
And shoot in a deliberate order. Go clockwise or counterclockwise through the house. That way you make sure you don't forget a small room or a bathroom.
Now, are there any exceptions to that 4 foot height rule?
Yes. The kitchen is the first major one.
Okay. What do we do differently there?
In the kitchen, you have to raise the camera higher, usually to about chest height, so maybe 5 feet.
And why is that?
You need to see over the countertops, but more importantly, you have to avoid shooting the ugly, shadowy underside of the upper cabinets. You want the buyer to see the nice backsplash, not the wiring for the under cabinet lights.
Right. And what's the other big exception? Bathrooms.
Bathrooms and other really tight spaces, they can be a nightmare. You want to make them look as big as possible, but you have no room to move back.
So what's the trick?
You position your tripod right in the doorway, sometimes almost outside the room looking in. Use your ultra-wide lens here, but be extra, extra careful about mirrors.
Ah, yes. The classic selfie in the mirror shot.
You have to take great care to stand completely out of the frame. Otherwise, you get this weird ghost-like reflection of yourself, and it just ruins the whole image.
And what about the number of shots? Do we need 5 angles of every room?
Definitely not. For big rooms, the kitchen, the primary bedroom, yeah, maybe 3 to 5 angles is good. But for most standard bedrooms, laundry rooms, or small bathrooms, all you need is one really well-composed wide shot from the doorway. Don't overshoot. Efficiency is key.
Okay, so when the interior is done, we head outside, and the height rule changes again.
It changes completely. For the exterior, you raise that tripod to its maximum height. You want to be at eye level or even a little bit above.
Why so high?
Well, houses are tall. There's no ceiling to balance, so you want to shoot as high as you can to get the whole property in, including a nice clean shot of the roofline.
And for composing the exterior shots, what angles do we need?
You want to get at least 2 or 3 angles of the front. A left angle, a straight-on shot, and a right angle. And always take one wide shot from the street. That shows the size of the whole lot and gives it some neighborhood context.
Got it. Any final pro tips for that main front shot?
Yes. For that main hero shot of the front of the house, if you can, avoid the ultra-wide 0.5 bay setting. Instead, move back a bit and use your standard one-day lens. This little bit of compression makes the house look more realistic and less distorted. It's just more flattering for that all-important thumbnail image.
So what does this all mean? We've covered a pretty complex workflow here. There's meticulous staging, specific composition rules, lighting, and that's all before you even think about editing.
Right. And even a perfectly straight photo is going to look dark and yellow if the lighting is bad. Fixing all of that, the color, the shadows, the perspective, that takes hours and a skill set most people just don't have time for.
And that's really where technology can step in to bridge that gap.
Precisely. This is where an app like ReadySetList comes in. It's designed specifically for landlords and property managers to take the best practices we just talked about and build them right into the camera itself.
So that's the real value. It handles that tedious alignment for you. It has guided framing and a real-time leveler, so the capture button literally turns green only when your phone is perfectly level.
It basically makes it almost foolproof to get a straight shot right out of the gate. It eliminates that whole problem of skewed vertical lines we were talking about.
And the really powerful part for someone who's busy is what happens after you take the picture.
Yeah, the AI enhancement. After you capture the shot, the app uses artificial intelligence to automatically fix all those common problems. It brightens dark photos, it reduces noise, corrects shadows, fixes perspective. It turns a dark, crooked photo into a bright, listing-ready image in just a few seconds.
Which means you get professional-looking results in minutes, not days. And you don't have to hire a photographer or an editor. And the cost is, it's pretty low friction.
It is. The AI enhancement is just $1 per photo processed. So it's an affordable, super fast solution for every single unit you list.
Okay, so let's wrap up with 3 key takeaways people can apply on their very next shoot.
First, the foundation of everything is a relentless cleanup. If it's not furniture or decoration, get it out of there so the buyer can imagine themselves in the space.
Second, always shoot horizontal at that waist level height, about 4 feet, to balance the floor and ceiling. Unless you're in the kitchen, then you go higher.
And third, use your phone's grid lines and leveler relentlessly. Make sure those walls and door frames are perfectly straight. That intentionality is the difference between an amateur snap and a successful listing photo.
And always remember that with real estate photography, your subject is the room itself. It's not the art of the photo. Just focus on presenting the space honestly and cleanly.
Exactly. Clarity and straight lines are what sells, not fancy camera tricks. The better you manage the space before the shot, the better that final image is going to be.
That's it for this deep dive. We hope this checklist makes your next shoot a lot faster and a lot more successful.